Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Rod Chalk inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Amen. Well, this is a privilege to be able to preach with my wife, and we have done this a couple of times, and they're not lately in there, but boy, we are privileged to be able to do this. This kind of started with Pastor Jay giving me the blessing. As an associate, you rarely, in most churches, you rarely get an opportunity to preach. It really is the truth. And you might get once every couple of months to preach. But I am so blessed here to be able to get the opportunity to be able to do this. As many times as you see me, to be able to be here. But then he said, asked me if I wanted to do 2 weeks in a row. And I'm like, wow, that would be awesome. And so as I sat down, the Lord gave us this, gave me this reminder of this sermon that actually Karen wrote and that Karen preached back in June of 2018. So that's 5 years ago. I believe it's at a women's conference at that time. But I felt like it was so, it's just one of those things where you see something and it just kind of ignites inside of you. So what I want you to do, I'm going to ask you if you wouldn't mind honoring in this, is to grab a pen out of your purse or borrow one. There might even be pens in the front in the seats where you are. To get a piece of paper and to take some notes here today. One of the things that we want to do over this next season is we want to begin to honor the Word. And I don't just mean the fact, I'm not talking about honoring me in this, I'm talking about honoring the Word in the midst of this, because it's good to take notes, amen? And so if some of you might have your phones, you can take them out and to be able to take notes as well. But I don't know about you, but I can hardly remember what I preached the week before sometimes. And so if we're all in that same boat, we need to be able to have something that we can continually go over and to digest it, because the Word is meant to change us. Amen? Come on now, the Word is meant to change us, right? And so this is what we're hoping to begin to do. And so today, what Karen and I want to do is we want to walk you through the spiritual seasons of life. So if you're looking for a title to this sermon, it would be the spiritual seasons of life. Just like the natural seasons where we know that we have summer and we have fall and winter and spring, there's also spiritual seasons in our lives. And so what we want to do first for a few minutes is we want to tie them in from the looking at the natural seasons and tie them into the spiritual seasons of our lives. And if you're going to write down something, this might be something good to write down. What we do in those seasons, in the spiritual seasons, is what promotes us into greater unity with God with what God is doing in our lives. And I'll say that again because that was a bit jumbled up. What we do in those seasons, in the spiritual seasons, is what promotes us into greater unity with what God is doing in and through our lives. I'll say it one more time just so that we can grab a hold of it. What we do in these spiritual seasons is what promotes us into greater unity with what God is doing in and through us. How many of you desire to be in the will of God? Right? We want to, come on now, that was actually a question. Anybody here desire to be in the will of God? Right? Yes. We want to be walking with Him on a daily basis, and that when we walk with Him, we know that the things that we are accomplishing, the goals that we have, the things that He is asking us to do, that they are on our radar, and they are not just something that happens, but they are something that's intentional. And this is what we want to talk about, is the seasons right now of becoming intentional within these seasons. Let me read this. I believe that if we were to actually grab a hold of the powerful wisdom that is available for us in each season, we would become overcomers, truly become overcomers in what God has asked us to do. I'll give you this part to this as well. This is all the introduction here, that Satan's plan is to delay us. Anybody ever been delayed? Come on now, you got some delay? Man, delay, I think delay is more annoying than anything else, because when you got that, anybody been given a prophetic word and you thought it was going to happen tomorrow? Right? Like that's what you were like, whoa, look out. And then like, you know, sometimes it can be like 7 years later.
in this, and that delaying, sometimes it's in God's plan of that in there, and other times that we know, like when we look at Daniel chapter 7 in verse 25, and we see this sense of that there was a demonic delay in the midst of what happens. And so we want, though, to walk out of those things. We don't want to let those things delay us. The enemy would also like to rearrange us, to sidetrack us, to get us focusing on the wrong thing in the season that we're in. I don't know about you, but sometimes I can have blinders. You know, like I get so focused in on something that I forget everything else around us. And then I realize that really what I'm focusing on was somebody else's agenda. Nobody else has ever gone through that, eh? That somebody else was having this and this and this and realized that I'm actually not anymore focused on what God has asked me to do, that I'm focused on somebody else's agenda. And I'm not talking about walking with people. I'm not talking about the fact of helping people, but I'm talking about being consumed with something that you're not supposed to be consumed with. Anybody been there? And so that's that sense of, for us right now, you want to help walk out of those things. And so what are we going to do is I'm going to start today with spring, and Karen's going to come up in a few minutes. I'm going to put my, if you see me looking down here, it's not because I'm trying to be controlled by a clock. It's because I want to honor my wife, because how many of you know I have the gift of the gab? Do not put up your hand, okay, in this. And so I don't want to do that, and I want to honor her so that she can come up and to be able to share it with what the Lord has given her. But I'm going to focus on spring. So here's your scripture, Matthew chapter 13, and it's really talking about verse 3 to 8. And it says this, you know the passage, I'm sure. But listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds, and he scattered them across his field. Some fell on a footpath, which isn't good, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on the shallow soil with underlining rock. The seeds sprouted quickly, but because the soil was shallow, they sprung up quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon withered under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, somebody say, I want deep roots. Come on now, I want deep roots. Yes, okay, those particular plants that didn't have them, they died. Other seeds fell on among thorns and grew up and were choked out as tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil. This is what we want to be. And they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as they planted. So springtime, if you're going to write something down again for springtime, here's what I want you to, this is the key to springtime. Springtime's key is found, Springtime's key is found in this, that springtime is about planting seeds of truth. Springtime is about planting seeds of truth, but it's about planting them in God's dreams for us. If you've ever had the situation where you've had a long winter season, and maybe you can really relate to this, but you can see that what I mean by that is not the fact of that snow is everywhere around physically, but spiritually it's felt like a long winter season. And we have this idea, and we're going to talk about this next week, that we have this negative idea of winter, but spiritually winter can be a great thing. Because winter is a time for God to say, guess what? I've got a new dream for you. Now here's my question for you. If God said to you, I have a new dream for you, would you be willing? Come on now, that's an actual question. Would you be willing? And some of your heart might have skipped a beat and said, Pastor Rod, you don't understand. I've had so many dreams and I haven't seen some of them come to pass. I'd like to have the old ones filled first. But that's sometimes not the way that God does these things. That in the other side, in the winter seasons, that is the time when he begins to sow new dreams in us. And the springtime then is when we have to begin to sow seeds of truth. If you were to put down, again, writing down something, here's two parts. There's two parts of seed time. The first part is this, is to prepare the land to cultivate. So the first part of this season, springtime, is to prepare the land or to cultivate. The second part is to plant the seeds. And if you get them wrong, you lose out on the harvest. If you plant your seed before you cultivate your ground, as a farmer, you're going to get the birds come and they're going to take the seed and you're going to lose out on harvest. it is extremely important to recognize that in a spring season in our lives, we have to be willing to do the hard work of cultivating our ground. Now, what in the world is cultivating our ground? I think of, again, as a farmer. And one of the things that when we think about is we have to work to dig through ever picked up rocks. Have anybody ever, first of all, is there any farmers in the room right now? Anybody been, you've been on the farm? And if you haven't, okay, I showed up at my wife's her parents' house one day with a pink cardigan on. To these, yes, Karen, you're laughing back there, you get that, right? To these farmers, okay, that worked really, really hard. And I can remember the fact of even going out to the barn. I would get 3 feet from, not even 3 feet from the barn. I literally would stop and I would be throwing up on the side. They were like, yay, what a son-in-law we have. It's so awesome. But in that season, you begin to say, hang on a second, there's a reason why I'm here. There's something I got to learn. And so that they, I didn't really want to do this, to be honest with you, but everybody, when you're on the farm, everybody's involved, right? You don't have a choice. And so it's rock picking time. And we're out there and somebody gets to drive the tractor, but the rest of us are walking around and we're picking up rocks. And so the first week I'm just thinking, man, how long have they had these fields? I mean, how many rocks are out here? And you pick them all up. And what you do with the rock is you don't pick it up and put it in a basket and carry it around. You take the rock, you pick it up, and you put it on the wagon, and you're done with it. But what was shocking is the next year or the year after, I come back over there, and we're going rock picking again? Hang on a second. We picked that field before. How in the world is there? No. We did that field. Did you get a new field? No. We looked at every rock. There was no rocks left. And you go out in the field and you find rocks everywhere. And you're like, who came into this field and stuck these rocks in the middle of here? And her dad would be like watching me laughing, you know, in there, because he knew that what happened in the winter season is that the temperatures and everything that happened, it would push the rocks up out of the ground. It'd be like, what in the world? We got to do this every year? Can you imagine? Even as a Christian, haven't you said the fact of, what do you mean I got to look at this again? What do you mean I got to take care of the rocks of offense that have come up in difficult midst of times? And, you know, what do you mean? What is this about? Let me show you a picture here. This is the old way of beginning to do this, and we'll see. So this is what I would do. And I would walk the fields, and we would throw the rocks on top of there and go to the next one. And sometimes you would find rocks like that, okay, in there. And you needed somebody to come over to you, and they would have to help you dig this rock out and pull this rock out. Well, I watched a video when I was preparing this of this farmer that showed. He's 6'3", and he's standing beside a rock that's off to the side, and it's taller than him. This rock was massive, and he's laughing, goes, we didn't move this by ourselves. This took machinery to come in, and they moved it up and moved it out of the way. But let me ask you, what do you think was left behind when they moved that big of a rock? There was a hole that was left behind. And sometimes in our lives, when we find her in these seasons where God says, guess what? You need to get rid of that. That's a rock of offense. See, if they're small little rocks, if they're just there, if we could learn to quickly, when we're offended, to be able to move on from it, to give it to the Lord, we could do like I would do and pick up the rock in the field and just bring it over and put it on the wagon as if I'm giving this to God and I'm done with it. And sometimes that's really all it takes, is to recognize, oh, didn't even realize I was offended by that. I admit that I'm offended, Lord. I admit that that's not right, that I have swallowed the bait. And I repent of that and I move on. And you grab the rock and you put it up there. But some of these rocks are so large, it takes the fact of one another, somebody else coming alongside of us to get this rock out. And some of them are so big that they leave craters and holes. And what has to happen is there has to be a season of God beginning to bring healing and restoration in our lives. But guess what? If we don't get rid of those rocks, what do you think is going to happen when it's time to plant? Those particular instruments get in the field And what happens is they're coming along, and if you didn't bother to get rid of these rocks, all of a sudden, bam, you hit one of these rocks underneath the ground. And what happens is it can just stop everything if it's big. But even if it's mid-sized, like you see those ones on there, what happens is that the instrument can get warped or it can get dull from hitting all these rocks. See, when we live with offenses in our lives and we don't deal with them, we become dull. We become spiritually dull in those situations. And so in this season, in this springtime season, and by the way, we can go through, I go through sometimes all four seasons in a month spiritually. I wish it wasn't so much so, but all of a sudden I can find myself in different relationships being in different seasons. Different things God is asking me to do. But there is a sense of we have to dig up these rocks of offense. Now, I didn't say dig up the whole backyard. You know, the Bible says that we got enough trouble to deal with for one day. We don't need to go look for more. Let God bring it to your attention. And sometimes God does it through the winter season. He does it through difficulties. He does it through trials. He does it through these things. But we don't have to go digging up our backyards all over the thing. We've got to get every rock. What God shows us, we deal with. And that is the way we begin to walk through in life. But there's something else that happens in this springtime season, especially spiritually, that we begin to say, God, I need to confront the fears and I need to confront the lies that I have believed in this season. Because when I told you to write down, the first thing is to prepare the land. Another way to say that, you might want to write right beside that, is to expose the lie. Now, here's what happens sometimes, and I'm already running out of time here in this. Here's what has to happen is, when we expose the lie, we've got to get away from the fact of, even if I say, this happens quite often, and I'm sorry I'm stuttering over this, but someone, have you ever heard somebody say to you, I think you're believing a lie? Now, in the beginning, when we first heard that phrase, we'd be like, well, let's deal with it right now. Right? You know, I can't believe, that's, you know what, you're right. But then years go by and that phrase becomes an annoyance. Because if somebody comes along and says, I think you might be believing, you don't know what I've been through. How dare you say that I am believing a lie? Because it becomes dull. And we cannot let this phrase, this is not just some phrase, we have to realize that this is how God deals with things. That when we're preparing the land, because guess what? You didn't come up with the seed that he gave you. He gave you this seed to plant into the ground. But in the midst of this, we've got to be willing and say, Lord, I am willing. And boy, I tell you, you say this and he's going to do it. He's going to call you up on it. Lord, I'm willing for you to expose the lie that is in my life. And when it comes up, this is what I'm going to close with here and then kind of call Karen up. And we all preach and teach differently. And I love the way my wife teaches. And so I just encourage her again to be who you are as you come up to share about summer. But let me give you six things. I just went like this. Six things, Lord help. Okay, so let me give you six things about dealing with the rock of offense. Okay, first of all, number one, admit it. You might think that's not so much important. Admit it. Say, you know what, I'm a bit offended. Because I tell you what, when you walk by someone and you go, you're offended. Some of you might not do that, but when they talk and all you can do is, I'm so annoyed with this person. You're offended, and we have to deal with that with one another. You got to admit it. Now, here's the difference. You can write this down. Take responsibility, but not ownership. Because ownership means that it has a place to live. Responsibility means that you're not putting this on somebody else. You're not going to play the blame game with your offenses. And you're also not going to play the sense a beginning to say, hey, you know what, this is what, this happened and this happened. So second thing is this, gather up the offense and bring it to God. It sounds so simple, but it's important to do. The third thing is this, small offenses and unforgiveness are easy to deal with. Now you say, what in the world are you talking about? It is a mindset. We have to begin to believe that small offenses and unforgiveness is easy to deal with. We simply have to bring it to God. I'm going to put all these online a little bit later today. Fourth thing is this. Big rocks leave big holes, which requires big healing. Say it again. Big rocks leave big holes, which need big healing. This is a process. Now, I believe, how many of you know that I believe in healing? I believe in the fact of coming to the front, the laying on of hands. But in this situation, it is a process. We want to be laid on of hands to get rid of that offense, and we want God to do it all, but he wants us to walk through the process of it. And it is a process. It is time that has to happen. Fifth thing is this, and this is probably one of the most important parts, change the words that you use. Rewrite your language. Hang on a second, let me just put all these fingers back at me. Rewrite your language, Rod. You've been speaking one way, you've now got to rewrite your language. The last one is this, plant truth over and over and over, say it with me, and over and over and over and over again. Plant truth after truth after truth after truth in the springtime. Okay, let's give my wife a hand as she comes and just shares with us about the summer.
You beat the alarm, honey. Good job. Okay. So if spring is the season for preparation and planting, then summer is the season for nurturing and protecting. I have a funny little story to tell you. I have a garden box that my husband made for me. And I didn't feel like planting anything in it this year. So it was just dirt. I didn't think that would be a problem. I didn't do anything with it, but by the end of July, guess what was in it? They were the bushiest, biggest, craziest looking weeds that I'd ever seen. They were even flowering. It was like, it was awesome. It's like, who knew weeds could flower? Anyway, they were pretty astonishing, but did you know that if you don't plant something in spring season, the enemy will be really happy to do it for you? Yeah. Summer is the season to be the watchman. You're going to need to be ready to protect that precious seed that you put in the soil. You need to watch over it. You need to nurture it. You need to water it. You need to help it to grow. You're going to have to watch over that seed. It's precious. And don't ever forget that what God has given you is precious and that you need to look out for that like that was the tiniest baby that you just needed to protect. And don't let the enemy get in there. A natural farmer is busy all summer. You know, we normally think of summer as, you know, let's go to the beach, let's relax, let's take vacations. A farmer does not do that. A farmer is continually watching over what he has planted in his ground. He's continually making sure that the enemy can't come in looking like a cute little bunny. How many know that the enemy can look like something that's not dangerous? He can look like a bunny or a squirrel or a deer. But if you know what, a farmer does not like those things coming into his garden because he knows that they're going to wipe out his crop. A good farmer protects. He waters. If you look at Ephesians 6:13, it says that you should use every piece of the armor of God to protect yourself, to resist the enemy when he comes to attack. And it's not if he's going to come to attack. It's when, right? Don't be fooled to think that it's all good. He's always looking for his opportunity. And just like the bunny can look harmless coming into our garden, sometimes things in our life can look harmless. The distractions that come, things like, they're not sinful, but they're distractions that kind of take us off course, like working too many hours and not having time to be with God or to get to church. Just being super busy, you don't have time each day to spend with God. Those are, you know, it's not wrong to have things that are busy, but if it's so busy that you can't stop and make sure you're taking care of your crop, that's not a good place to be in. Sometimes it can be friends and family. Sometimes friends and family can pull us out of the place that we're supposed to be. We love our friends and our family, and we do need to be there for them, and we do need to take care of them, but sometimes their messes can interfere with what we're supposed to be taking care of in our own life and get us completely distracted. Sometimes it's just simple things like spending too much time watching TV or playing our video games or, you know, fill in the blank. Sometimes it can be sporting events, like if you're involved in sports or whatever, and they take you away from church on Sunday. They take you away from spending time with God. All those things can be good in and of themselves. But if, as long as they're not taking over the time that you're supposed to be spending with God. Matthew 13, 24 to 30, if you want to just take a minute to turn there with me. And this scripture has a couple different interpretations, but when I read it this time, it's like God was showing me something different. And it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night, as the workers were sleeping, the enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat and slipped away. And when the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farmer's workers went to him and said, 'Sir, the field where you planted that good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from?' 'An enemy has done this,' the farmer exclaimed. 'Well, should we pull out the weeds?' they asked. 'No,' he replied. 'You'll uproot the wheat if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest, and then I will tell the harvesters to sort the weeds and tie them into bundles and burn them, and then we'll put the wheat in the barn.'" Sometimes the enemy comes and throws weeds in your good ground where you have good seed and everything you're doing is right. But sometimes the enemy comes when you just didn't expect him. You can get a bad report from the doctor, but you can't shoot that messenger. You'd like to. You have a financial setback, but you can't go rob a bank. You have family troubles, but you can't ignore your family. You have work-related problems, but you still need your job. People are causing problems in your life, but you can't stop people from being awful. You have marriage problems, but you've chosen to be committed. You have problems relating to your children, but you can't quit your kids. Some weeds you can't pull out, You can't burn down the field with the wheat and the weeds. Sometimes you have to go through things to the end. Sometimes you have to go through things until the harvest. And then in the harvest time, you will sort out the weeds from the wheat, and you will still have a harvest. Might not have been as big, but you'll still have a harvest. I'm very thankful for the foundation that I have. And my parents were incredible at making sure that I understood that Jesus is first. It doesn't matter what you do with your life. If Jesus is first, everything's going to be okay. It'll all work out. They went through hard things, and I watched them go through hard things. There was some pretty nasty thorns in there sometimes, but they stuck with God through it all. So when you're going through hard things, that's not the time to stop going to church. You need your church family. When I go to church, I expect that they're going to be there for me, and they expect that I'm going to be there for them. So don't give up on church when things are tough. That's the wrong time. I depend on God's word. I read it. I don't leave it on the shelf. I read it. Sometimes that can be a little bit hard when it feels really dry, but just keep on, because God's word does its work even when you don't feel it. If you can keep on reading his word in the harvest season, you'll see why that was important. I need to talk to God. I need to listen to him during this hard season. I need to keep on listening. I need to keep on talking to him. And some days that might just be, God, please help me. I'm dying here. Right? Be determined that God is number one, no matter what is coming in your life. In the summer season, the enemy will do everything he can to destroy your harvest. But do not let him completely destroy it. Stay strong. Keep the faith. Don't be wishy-washy in your Christianity. Right now, there's a temptation that I see that it's not so important to be in church, or it's not so important what I do in my life when I'm just living life out. But when the enemy comes, and he will, and you've just been wishy-washy, he can completely annihilate you. And I don't want that to happen to any of you, because I love you so much. My family has been through a war, and some of you know our war. We've had a very hard 2020 year. I call it the year from hell, because it felt like the enemy sent one thing after another, after another, after another, and I didn't know when it was going to stop, and it just felt like one, it was just every time I turned around, there was something else happening. It would be things not necessarily happening to me personally, but just people I loved were being beaten up. I watched some of my children go through some really, really hard things. And some of you will already know what I'm talking about. And that's okay, but if you don't, then don't worry about it. That's their business. But it's hard as a parent to watch your kids go through really tough things. It's hard to know what to do. It's hard to watch other family members get sick, and you have to just be there day in and day out and just try to get them through to the other side. And it's exhausting, and it's hard to know when that season's going to be done. And it's hard when you watch family members get terrible diseases and you can't fix that for them. It's hard to watch your husband go through stuff, and you can't fix them. How many wives would really like to fix their husband? Sometimes you would, but sometimes we just have to wait for God to do what he's going to do, and that can be really hard. But I'm so thankful that Jesus has never left me in the middle of that. And when I received some really bad news from my mom, probably May last year, it felt like I had taken the last blow that I could take. And I got a little numb, and I felt like I wasn't going to be able to keep going. But I'm thankful that I have enough foundation, I have enough reserves that tell me that this is not going to be forever, right? I have enough reserves in my tank because I've done the work, I've protected the seed, I've made sure I've put away everything I can in harvest seasons so that I'm going to have something that when the bad stuff comes, I'm able to deal with it. That might not always look like I'm happy and cheerful every day, as my husband well knows. That might not look like I can talk to too many people some days. I might need to, if you can't say anything nice, just shut it. So there were days like that. I just, I would come in here, and I love you guys, but, my filter was really bad. So I would sit back there with my kids because they know me well. And thankfully, they forgive me most of the time. Don't take your eyes off Jesus. Yeah. A farmer every year is going to take some of his crop and he's going to put it in his reserves. He's going to do the work in the summer, and they're going to jar up all those fruits and vegetables, and they're going to put all them in the cans, and they're going to put them in their fruit cellars, and they're going to make sure they've got lots. And in those really plentiful seasons, you got to put away everything you possibly can, because sometimes there's not much to harvest because the enemy comes. The enemy always comes. What are you going to do? You're going to keep your eyes on Jesus. You're going to declare that if I feel defeated, well, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. If I'm feeling physically unwell, I'm going to declare, well, Jesus died for my abundant life. And there's nothing abundant about being sick, so, I'm going to believe I'm going to get better. Mm-hmm. If I'm having lack, or if I'm in debt up to my eyeballs, and it feels pretty hopeless, my God is rich. And he supplies all of my needs. And so because my daddy's rich, I can be rich too, and he's going to get me through this to the other side. So speak the truth over every area of your life. The enemy's going to tell you lies, but you're going to speak the truth. Pray at all times, on every occasion, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. In the summertime, after you've done some good harvesting, you're going to probably see that you don't get mad when some of those things that used to make you mad happen. That's some good things, that as you grow in the Lord, those are good things that start happening. I didn't feel as painful when I saw that person that really hurt me. Those are some good things that start happening as we put good stuff in our pantries. I didn't panic when this went wrong because I've got stuff in my pantry. It was so easy to forgive that time when that person did this or that person did that, because I've got stuff in my pantry. I kept praying and I kept reading my Bible faithfully because I've got strength, because I've got stuff in my pantry. I kept going to church this time because I've got stuff in my pantry. I didn't give up. So what are you planting in your garden? Are you planting hope for new growth in your life? Are you planting the expectation that you will have wonderful God encounters in your harvest season? I want that one. Are you planting the hope for victory over bondages and sins? Are you breaking off the lies that have deformed your view of God, and are you allowing God to speak the truth to you? Have you planted the truth in the good ground of your heart? And are you nurturing it? Are you watering it? So we can't just plant something and forget about it. We need to water it. We need to pay attention to it. Are you staying alert and watchful to see when the enemy's at work in your life so that you can stand firm in your faith? And are you staying connected to your church family so that they can give you the support that you need and so that you can give them the support that they need? What are you planting in your garden?
So the truth is, over these last season, when Karen talks about that year and whatnot, that you may have seen us walking around, and because my face says something doesn't mean my heart's saying it, right? And those things. But I'm still responsible for my face. But in those seasons, what we've come to understand, we're standing here not as know-it-alls. We're standing here still because of our foundation, right? It's our foundation. And when Karen would declare something and I'd get annoyed, none of you do that, I know. When I would declare something and she would roll her eyes, she never did that, of course, yeah. The truth in the middle of it is our foundation is key. Did you hear that? What are we preserving? What are we holding on to? People, in the summer, you make preserves for two reasons: to support yourself and to give it away as a gift. It's beautiful when someone walks up to me and says, I got canned peaches, Pastor Rod. Would you like one? I'm like, yes, it's awesome. But you see, instead of being in the natural, it's the fact that we've spent time with the Lord. We've read our word when it didn't feel like nothing, right? And we have not stopped, even though it's been paused here and there, we've not stopped declaring, even when my brain didn't believe. Come on now, are you with me? Stand up with me this morning. There is this sense of that we're walking through, and I hope that you've grabbed a hold of some hope here today. in the sense that we need to be together. This is what we're saying. We need to get closer to one another. We need to walk with one another. We need to be there for one another. And in the midst of it, we have to sit there and decide that, you know what? Nobody's messing with my garden this year. Come on now. We've got to decide. And I'm not going to have like our crazy garden this year in the boxes. I never seen weeds grow like that. But you know what? There was nothing there to choke out the weeds. We didn't plant anything to rise up to choke out the weeds instead of being the other way around. But in this season right now, we're saying, you know what? No matter whether I've done it before, doesn't matter whether, because I don't go by feelings. My feelings get me in a deep amount of trouble. Anybody else there? I go by my choices, and I'm going to choose to walk in a firm foundation for this next season. And as Pastor Jay said it this morning, I am going to choose to have joy everywhere I go. I'm going to choose to laugh. We saw something the other day that we were just laughing and laughing and laughing, and we needed those things. So we're just going to speak a blessing over. Next week, we're going to talk about the fact of fall and winter. And winter's going to surprise you. It's awesome, okay, in there. Make sure you invite somebody to come. So let's just speak. Just pray over everybody.
Father, I thank you that you have given each and every one of us seeds of hope to plant in our spring season. I thank you that you help us to prepare our ground so that those seeds will not be destroyed, that they're going to be able to flourish in that ground, that there's not going to be rocks of offense or other things that can cause our seed not to be able to be harvested. And so, Father, I also thank you that every time the enemy comes, that you keep us strong if we keep our eyes focused on you, that, Lord Jesus, as we put you number one in our life, that as we put you number one in our life, that we will not be disappointed, because we will have a beautiful harvest if we do that. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that every one of the people in this place is loved by you. We love them. We want to see you do awesome things in their lives. We want to see them grow exponentially this year. We want to see, Lord Jesus, that you will move powerfully among each person that is under the sound of my voice right now, and that they are going to be blown away with how good you are. The enemy is terrible, but Lord, you are good. No matter what is happening, you didn't send the bad stuff. You didn't send the bad stuff. You are good, and you are holding our hand so that that bad stuff eventually will be able to fall away, because you're going to take us out to the other side into that beautiful harvest season. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for all the good that you have planned for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.